the Freedom Fiends.
Yes, it is.
And Chandler's not doing the intro.
Oh, I am. I'm just waiting. You know, I
like riding at that vamp. Yeah.
I just like to listen to that music. So, yeah. You know, it's a trigger warning because this is the Freedom Fiends. And we're broadcasting from a seditious, snowy, and Sagittarian summit, serving as an idle wheel to inconspicuously inculcate you with the intricate ideas of individualism. And we should mention that the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license, which allows use by everyone except, well, except who, James?
Except the government.
Yeah, boo government. We don't need any. So yeah, this is Chandler St. Pierre, otherwise known as the Jabbering Coon Cat, broadcasting from snowy Maine. I went to bed this morning or yesterday evening. I don't know. I can't keep track. And there was like an inch of snow on the ground. I got up just a few minutes ago, and we're covered. It's all white.
Is that good or bad? I mean, that's kind of expected this time of year in Maine, right? Like,
yeah. Well, you know, we kind of got used to not having any snow. You know, we've had one.
We just got our first here in Pennsylvania as well. So, and it was just a dusting. So, yeah, I thought finally I was like global warming might have kicked in.
Oh man, I was hoping. Yeah,
I mean, I leave the SUV idling in the driveway. I do, you know, I try to do my part for global warming, but I just felt like it hadn't been working, so I was discouraged.
Yeah. Well, it was working up until about a week ago, I think. So, what are you going to do? That's what living in the Northeast is like. You got 6 or 7 months of cold, blurry, boring, white weather.
Maine's awesome, though. I do love Maine, but I do not visit in the winter. I don't know. Just coincidentally, I'm there in the summer. I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, geez, I can't imagine why. I don't know. You know, the older I get, like, winter just doesn't hold that magic for me, you know? It's like, you know, when you're a kid, school used to be canceled. You go out sledding, go out snowmobiling, whatever.
Do you do snowmobiling now at all?
I would if I had one, but I don't have one, so it's fun. I went probably like four years ago, I think was the last time I went snowmobiling.
There's an amazing set of trails that go up to like Moosehead Lake and all over the place. I mean, you can ride everywhere on snow machines up there.
Oh man, I live in town, like Augusta, and whenever we get a big snow like we've gotten today, you see people riding in the streets, and you know the trails interweave the main roads, especially in the back end of town, and you'll see people riding their snowmobiles. It's cool.
Yeah. And probably all the state bureaucrats that infest Augusta probably stay home. So it's probably, like, doubly nice.
Yeah, that's the one good thing, you know. The state will close down, and yee-haw. But,
Speaking of Maine closing down, isn't your, or I shouldn't say your governor, isn't the person who claims the title of governor in Maine, he's in some hot water. Isn't he, like, getting, like, run out of town, basically, for being a big racist jerk?
Yeah, when isn't this guy? I mean, this guy, I guess I kind of like him in the respect that he's entertaining. You know, he's like Trump. He's so horrible, but he says the dumbest things that kind of make you laugh sometimes. I guess this week...
Is that how he was swept to power? By saying dumb things and appealing to... I'm not going to say Mainers are dumb. But let's just say there's a lowest common denominator that seems to be highly represented at the voting booths.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean, the people that you wouldn't want, you know, running your local, I don't know, church committee are the ones that seem to show up in droves at the voting polls. And he does appeal to those people, you know. He's, I don't know, he made some ridiculous comment about how, you know, black men were coming up from Boston and New York and coming to Maine and getting involved with young white girls and getting them pregnant and how these men are usually dealing drugs and all that. And be that as it may, I'm not even going to debate his claim, but That Come just on, seems man. To me, if you're supposedly some sort of professional in public office, it seems kind of dumb to say something like that,
yeah,
doesn't
maybe
it?
Maybe somebody should update him that interracial relations are no longer a political topic, dude.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know.
I mean, really? He's trying to bring that one back? Like, we're going to do something about these interracial couples, you know, like, what?
Yeah. I think he was trying to make mention to the fact that, because there, I will definitely agree that there is definitely a drug epidemic in this state, and a lot of it comes from individuals coming from out of state with large quantities of heroin and cocaine and crack.
Where's it coming in from, Canada or
typically speaking, the people that have gotten arrested around here lately have been from New York or Massachusetts.
Okay.
So this, of course,
has nothing to do with impregnating your females.
Right. I don't know. It's
emerging drug market, right?
Yeah. I don't know how exactly that kind of came into his mind and came into play. And you know, there are a lot of people that agree with him. And like I said, be that as it may, I'm not going to argue the point. It just seems like a silly thing to say, you know, in the media, especially when you're, you know, most people around here don't like him, and they're just looking for reasons to yell at him. So why would you give it to him, you know?
Well, but it sounds like he's just not as refined as some of the other politicians, where he blurts out the insane racist things going on in his brain. Like he utters, at least some of the other politicians have been trained
to shut up. Yeah, there's no filter
to simulate,
functioning
to simulate normal behavior of a non-sociopath.
Well, I think it appeals to that you know, that down to earth, you know, average man who'll say what they believe sort of thing. And
yeah, the Trump phenomenon, I guess.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly, like,
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, right. He's your drunk uncle, you know, like
that's exactly like that. Those kind of comments are exactly what I would expect.
No offense
to
my uncles, okay? And I don't even like to use that term, you know, because I feel it's offensive to drunk uncles everywhere, okay?
but that's the kind of thing you'd hear your drunk uncle say at Christmas, you know?
Yeah, the stereotypical, you know. But, people can. I mean, what does it say, though, when people get popular support for this kind of behavior? I mean, has he tried to ban any religions or build any walls? Like, for instance, in fact, it's not a bad idea. If he said, yeah, I'm going to build a wall between us and the rest of New England, people would probably, you know, kind of be into it, right? Like,
probably. I hope not. But
he could, you know what he said he should do? Say, yeah, we're going to build a wall to keep Massachusetts out. But we'll let, like, New Hampshire people in somehow, right?
Works for me. You know, it's funny, too, because I was on Twitter or Facebook or something, and somebody had made, like, a parody account and made a comment in response to his horrible racist comments, and they were like, hey, you got to keep them white boys out of New York. They're coming down here with their coffee, brandy, and making our young women fat.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was. I'm paraphrasing, but
no, that's good.
It was.
I mean, that's
really
what this
funny.
Kind of thing deserves. He just needs to be abused so hard on social media that he's never allowed on Twitter again. Like, he should never be able to. He should, like, just step out in public and wherever he goes in real life or online and just be pelted. Oh man.
Well, I don't personally. I don't use. Snapchat, I guess it is, where you take pictures and send them to people. I guess that's how you talk with pictures. I've never used it, but I know all the kids are these days. But I guess the White House has a Snapchat now, and Obama's speech last night or tonight, or I keep forgetting because it's the next, yeah, last night, next day, right. Anyway, his speech was broadcast on Snapchat or something. I was like,
oh, nice. Well, you know, it's perfect.
What a
Snapchat. Snapchat's made for politics, okay? And it's the timing could be excellent, especially for we may end up with a president Hillary Clinton, okay? Because what Snapchat does, if I understand it correctly, and maybe some, you know, the young people can correct me if I'm wrong, but you send something to somebody and then it's automatically deleted after a certain period of time.
See,
right?
Snapchat is the program that what was the Wiener guy from New York that got busted? The politician?
Oh, Congressman Wiener. Yeah.
What he should have used. He should have used Snapchat. Well, and there would have been no problem.
I think Snapchat exists as market demand for people like the disgraced Congressman Wiener.
Get a kick out of saying that every time.
He's his own joke. He is his own punchline.
He must have got beat up so much as a
but
kid.
So think about it. Okay, so Snapchat emerges as market demand. Because people get in trouble because this stuff lingers. So they invented Snapchat to automatically delete after a certain period of time. Now imagine how great this is going to be for somebody like Hillary. Okay. Do you realize how hard it is for her to delete these email servers constantly and always be worried about deleting everything she says and having electronic record of any, you know, this way, boom, it's gone. Oh, State of the Union address. What was that promise he made? Poof, gone. Nobody cares, right? This is perfect.
I never thought of it in that light, but you're right. I mean, now it doesn't surprise me that the White House has Snapchat.
When did he say that? I don't remember politician X ever saying that. Oh, yeah, he said it. Must have been on Snapchat. Yeah. You know?
Sorry. It's gone.
Gone.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the last few shows, it's been an ongoing theme with me. I have just tuned right out. Like, especially because it's election season, right? And everyone's all hyped up.
Oh, it's so hard.
You know, it's really funny because I have two clients that I work with in the home, and one of them lives with his mom and one of them lives with his brother. And the one that lives with his mom, she's this sweet 90-year-old lady who, you know, she reads the newspaper every day, but she doesn't really keep up on things. So I don't hear, and they don't watch TV or anything. So I don't hear any of that stuff, right? When I go there, I love working there. But then the other one, you know, the TV's on and the guy loves Trump. So, yeah, I'm just exposed to it. It makes me sad. So, yeah, I try to stay away from all that nonsense.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
It's probably Paul. So, yeah, before I blabbered out into the market when we left, I was just saying how I've pretty much tuned out. You know, these days are all about reading, and I've gotten into Star Wars The Old Republic. It's an online game. Don't anyone out there that games, please do yourself a favor. Don't get into what they call MMOs, because they'll just suck you in and waste time. So, yeah, I hadn't seen a lot of what's going on, but there was a tragedy in New Hampshire that you were telling me about that you wanted to talk about on the show tonight.
Yeah, this is really hard because it was some really bad news, and it's kind of tough to even bring up on the Fiends because it's not the kind of thing that, you know, we can make, really make jokes about, but it's so important. John Connell died in a fire today, and people know him as the pastor at a church in Grafton. He is a juror rights activist, extremely effective, super nice guy. I mean, this is a huge loss to everybody that knows him and that loves him. This guy is just... I didn't get to know him really well, but we got a chance to hang out a few years ago at Portfest, and I got to know him. And you know, he instantly puts people at ease. And you know, I knew immediately that I liked this guy, even from his reputation. I had followed what some of the stuff he had done, but getting to meet him and hang out with him at Porkfest was great. And we're able to maintain our friendship through Facebook since then. And it's a stunning loss. And the circumstances are unknown about the fire, but the fire took place, started this morning, evidently. And I'm just reading the news reports. They haven't actually released the name, his name, but he's been unaccounted for, and they're identifying him as the person who lived there, and we all know that was him, in this 200-year-old church. Tragic story. So just wanted, give a shout-out to, for John Connell. Super good guy. Rest in peace.
Well, and you were telling me that he started a church and didn't want to go through all the rigmarole.
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of like really principled guy that he was. He bought this church in Grafton, and he set it up as a church, and he said the first, it's called the Peaceful Assembly Church, and he said the first thing that he did when they found out he was going to buy it, the town assemblymen, or I guess they're like town council people or whatever, they said, "Oh, what are you going to do when we give you a tax bill?" You know, and John just kind of looked at him, was like, "What do you, that's kind of weird." That's the first thing you say to somebody? Like, I didn't think you taxed churches. What are you talking about? So evidently the town, like any government agency, they've always got their sights on more resources, more territory, more property, more taxes, more control. And they were looking at this as like, maybe this can be something that's we can tax. And so John, though, doesn't really think that he needs anyone's permission to run a church, and he didn't want to get the state involved. He didn't want to file paperwork. He didn't feel like, he's just, I'm just going to do my church. I don't feel I'm required to do any of this stuff. And he didn't. And they, he probably could have jumped through all the hoops. He probably could have, but that just wasn't him. And they had just recently, so they sent him all these tax bills, and he doesn't, that he doesn't recognize it. And they took action to take his property, and they were in the process of stealing his church and his home that he had built from him. Could that drive someone to suicide? I have no idea, and I don't know him well enough to say that. Yeah, that was, might be suicide. I don't want to say that it is, because I have no idea of knowing. But I'm hoping to see more information coming out. There's information from the fire marshal is sort of mysterious. Like we're not prepared to release the identity of the victim and the cause and stuff like that. Like it's not like they didn't know, but it's like they had a reason to not say anything.
I think you're good in not wanting to drive that speculation, but the state's actions of basically taking everything you've worked for no reason, just because they claim some sort of mythical authority to do so, is the type of behavior that can drive a person to give up.
It can drive you insane. It can drive people to madness and frustration and utter despair, because and I think maybe this story resonated with me because I've experienced these kind of politicians. I've seen them in action.
Yeah, it's really sad. I mean, you try your best to live.
We're out.
Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon. And Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
What a loss. And we're wondering if, you know, we know that the town, the people known as the government in Grafton were harassing him very hard and making his life miserable. And, you know, what could that do to you? You know, I think the reason this story is so sad and it resonates with me is because we've all seen these kind of bureaucrats, haven't we? Like, if you've ever been to a town meeting or seen these people or had to hear their stupid speeches, or they will crush people's lives. They don't care. They don't have moral limits like normal people. They're sociopaths. And sort of like the small town ones, the more petty, almost like the more insanely vicious they can become. I've seen it, and you know, the fact that they, you know, that would do that to somebody as awesome as John is horrible. You know, I don't know what to say. But if it's, you know, if our friends are going through something similar to that, you know you're not alone. You know, there's no amount of property loss, you know, is worth, you know, losing your life over. So.
No, there really isn't, and. It's interesting. This kind of leads into something I was reading today. I posted on Facebook. I found a new site called CorruptCops.com. And I posted an article called Tricks and Tips, How to Be a Revolutionary for Dummies. And the guy was pretty extreme in his beliefs, I guess you could say, and I'm not all into that whole, you know, it's time for an armed revolution thing. I think that would be a really bad idea. However,
especially considering the odds,
yeah,
the tactical scenario,
yeah. But one of the things he did bring up is something I've been trying to stress, you know, for the last 5 years, even when I used to do a podcast, is that it's really ineffectual, and it's not enough to get on social media, to get on the radio, to get on a podcast, and just illustrate the latest and greatest horrors of the state. Because, let's face it, even your average person who's really not up to date knows how corrupt and how horrible the system is. And people
while
don't want to get
defending it tooth and nail, right?
Stockholm syndrome, totally.
Yeah,
it's not enough to do that, right? So the point I've tried to make, and that he hits home really well in this article, is you have to illustrate ways to work around that system. You have to offer alternatives. Now, you know, there's different levels to the alternatives that you can offer. But if you don't show people, like, and I see it firsthand when I talk to people, and people are like, oh, you're an anarchist and everything. You don't believe in any government, and they think that's ridiculous, because how could you survive without government, right? They're always like, well, what's your solution? You know, what do you think we should do? And one of the
central plan. If you don't think central planning is going to work, well, give me a better central plan.
Exactly. I had that discussion. I went to a birthday party and I talked with this one guy for like an hour and a half, and a conservative guy. And we had, that's basically what it came down to. And I said, well, look, I don't have the answer. There's no one plan that will work to ensure our liberty. I said it's an individual thing, and it's got to be voluntary. You know, for some people, it's as simple as learning how to farm. It's as simple as what I want to do this year, even though I don't think I'm supposed to. But, you know, I want to have chickens, and I want to have lots of raised bed gardens.
Yaks? You know, how about you could be the – do they farm yaks in Maine yet?
I don't know if they do. I'd have to talk to Nick. I know
what if we created a literally a coast-to-coast yak empire? Right, like imagine like both coasts covered. That'd be awesome for the yak.
That would be
for the yakitalists.
Pretty cool. Well, yeah. So, I mean, and that's the whole point, right? Is that it's different for everyone. You do what you can to work yourself out of that system. You know, whether it's gradually or you know really intensely and quick. I mean, I guess it depends on where you are and what kind of situation you're in.
Yeah, and how much pressure you're under. Like, I need to do things that, like, let off steam. If I feel like, you know, like, oh, just because it can drive you insane. You know, when I start looking at the bill, my bills from the IRS or start thinking about how much I'm getting ripped off by, you know, this tax or that. It's like, you know, my life is basically a host to a whole ecosystem of parasites, you know. And sometimes you notice it and you're like, dang, these parasites stink. I wish I could just, you know, just... you know, shed them and move on with your life. It's infuriating, but
it's so infuriating, you know,
but because sometimes, you know what, sometimes you figure out how to get at least one of them off. Right. Or, maybe all you can do is, you know, supplement, you know, try to do something to allow you to cope better. But sometimes you get a little something to poke back at them. We can make fun of them on Freedom Fiends, for instance, which, you know, might just be sort of like a therapy that at least helps my sanity level. You know, giving these people at least the respect they deserve, which is obviously none. Negative. But I think you're the point you mentioned earlier, though, is you have to show somebody, you know, something better. But I don't know. What are some other things that we can show people?
Like I said, it depends. You know, from my perspective, my big thing is just trying to live as independently as I can, right?
Right.
You know, I have a really good friend who, before she met me, she had played with guns and stuff, but, oh, I say play with. She had shot a few, but she wasn't really into it. I gave her her first gun, you know, one of those disposable, awful, throwaway High Points. And now she's all into it. She just got a little beautiful little pink 38 concealed pistol, and her boyfriend and her have been building chicken coops and raising chickens and doing a lot of homesteading stuff, and she's really gotten into it. And I think that's wonderful. You know, I think that a small part of my crazy beliefs, you know, and talking to her influenced her and kind of got her interested in these things, and she's just taken it in all kinds of directions. And I think that's an important part of what we can do, you know, just inspiring people and getting them to consider different alternatives and different ways of living. You know, I have friends who don't believe in having bank accounts, who do everything with those disposable credit cards. And not because they're criminals or terrorists, it's right. Just they don't want to be beholden and contribute to the system. And I know that by using those disposable cards, they still are. But it's not, you know, as much as some people.
Or another thing along those lines, using encryption on your phone, okay? Like, it's something so easy that people can do. It's like, oh, you just got mad about the NSA? Oh, yeah, that's horrible, isn't it? Well, guess what? Here's something for free you can do to make sure that they're not listening to your phone calls. You don't need to, we don't need to call Congress. We don't need the president to address this. It's there on your phone for free, and it works. You know,
well, yeah, Derek Slopey and I were just talking about that this weekend. You know, using PGP encryption or whatever.
Not because you're a criminal, not because you even have anything that you even care if they read about, but just to send encrypted data into the stream, right? Just to
make them work for it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And just because it's none of their business. And you get the personal satisfaction of going, yeah, chew on this. right?
So think of it in terms of like this bureaucrat's at the NSA super building or whatever, and he's working hard to decrypt your text messages and your emails, and he decrypts one, and it's you talking to your friend about going to see a local show at a bar this weekend, or it's your recipe for seafood lasagna. He's like, I spent all that time trying to crack this email.
Well, see, I don't think they will. I don't think they're going to be spending that time cracking my email until I become a person of interest. Then they put the big guns to try to, then they'll go back and like get this whole body of every phone conversation I've ever had and start deciphering
it. Well, and you got to think though, like, I don't like the criteria for being on the list, like they say, is so minimal now. So I got to think that people like us, they have some interest in. I mean, I don't think they consider us public enemy number one, but they definitely don't like the things we talk about. So
right. I would at least like to hope that some like automatic
low level bureaucrat is getting
not even a person, just at least an algorithm creates a an entry into another database somewhere else that says, I might have had something to do with that when you remember when that list came out a few years ago where they had all the words that the NSA listens in for?
Oh, yeah.
And it was like hundreds of words, everything from agricultural to biotechnology to medicine to terrorism, like this huge list. And I just put it as the signature in my email for like a year, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's like super small print. I'm like, all right. Let's just put that in every single message. Like, suddenly, how are you going to search for those words now?
I remember people doing that. That was a big thing. Like, when the list first came out, we were all putting it as taglines and sig lines in our emails and
right.
texts.
And remember, like, all the posts. This is what they say, don't post. Make sure you don't post these words.
Yeah, just to get them going. So, remember, just looking back, remember... I was talking about that parody account. It's a Twitter account making fun of LePage, and it's supposedly this drug dealer called Smoothie. He just posted another one that says, holy crap, the lobster is so cheap here, heading back to New York City with three live one-pounders and a white woman. I gotta subscribe to this guy, I'm telling you.
This is how, this is how we win. Okay.
Yeah.
It's through memes. It's through Twitter. The guys like that guy, you know what? They're just dinosaurs. They're struggling in the tar pit, like in their final death throes.
And you've got smarties like this just laughing at them. I love it. Well, we'll be back as soon as we go to the market. Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Yeah, we were talking about your that guy that calls himself the governor of Maine. What's his name?
Yeah.
LePage.
I don't know, big fat head.
Yeah. Well, he did get he's gotten some hot water, but we were making fun of him for his racist outburst. But turns out he is getting some new supporters, and this was a headline that I saw that former KKK Grand Wizard praises Maine governor for exposing quote unquote defilement of white girls by black men. Yes, this is former Klan leader David Duke. Okay. Yeah. So the story
how is that still a thing in 2016?
Because these guys somehow they're still alive. I don't know why they live, but people like that live for a long time for some reason. Anyway, here's the buried lead, because it says on his Friday radio program, Duke came to the governor's defense. Okay, this guy has a radio program. Wow. Well, this is what he said. Now, this is pretty funny because we actually mentioned this earlier. He said, quote, Trump effect of people. He said this is part of, the remarks as part of what he said was the, quote, Trump effect of people not talking in politically correct manner. Politically correct meaning not a racist scumbag.
Yeah, I have no problem with being un-PC. In fact, I strive to do that every day. But there's a line. You know,
that doesn't give you right. There's a difference between PC and being or being un-PC and being just a total jerk. I mean, it's not a free pass. So anyway, at least he's getting some support. Didn't you mention that what was the first thing he did? He like retreated to some farm show.
Oh yeah, we have an agricultural show that comes to the Civic Center every year where they have the big farm trucks and local growers and products and that sort of thing for farming and agriculture. And of course, he had to make an appearance there today. And I was just like, really?
Yeah, nobody likes like the you one guy. Place. He's like, where? Okay. I know Maine hardly has any black people, but where can I go where there's definitely not going to be any black people? The farm show in Maine. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's probably a safe. You know what? I'd like to be surprised and see like the Maine farmers all like jump on him.
Well, I remember I went to a gun show at the Civic Center. And he had a booth there, and I was like, really? Really? It was his daughter, who was his campaign manager or something, was there. And, they tried to pass out flyers and get me on board with the Republican Party, and I just said, no, thanks.
That worked out.
No thanks. I'm an anarchist. I don't believe in your petty and insane system. And they just kind of looked at me strange. And
it's like telling a Jehovah's Witness you're an atheist, right?
Yeah.
Like
or a Satanist.
Satanist.
I could tell stories about that. But it has the same effect for sure.
No solicitors, please.
Yeah. It's a waste of time. I mean, I don't want to waste their. Well, actually, I do want to waste their time, but I don't want them to waste my time. So,
well, do they ever knock on your door? I mean, I get like state reps knocking on my door.
No, they don't. And for a long time, I had one of the cop block door handle flyers on my door. You know, it's gotten
old. What does it say?
It says come back with a warrant, and then the other side says no government officials are welcome on the premises, yada yada yada. They're great. I gotta get some more. I had a couple.
I want one that says come back with a bear cat.
Yeah. Be careful what you wish for.
No, it's easy. Any cop can make up a falsify a warrant, right? But anyway, so you think that was a deterrent for up and coming politicians to stop in and try to woo you?
Yeah, no, they tend to send their stuff through the mail now, and I just, that goes in the wood stove as fire starter.
Ask them what their position on self-ownership is. That'll freak them out.
Yeah, well, I don't even think they'd understand that concept, right?
It's like that classic Trek where Kirk defeats the androids by confusing them and they start smoking.
Yep, blows their heads up. So yeah, more on blowing androids' heads up when we come back for the next hour. Worms.
Worms.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1.
Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Top Financial Beast Plaza, blah, blah, blah. LibPair Satellite 2017. Anyway, this show is protected by the BIPCOT, no government license. So check that out at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Hour 2 of the Freedom Fiends. I'm Jim Babb. I'm here with Chandler St. Pierre.
Yeah,
what is it?
From
the Rumpy
Snowy
Coon
Maine.
Cat? What is it? The Feisty Coon Cat?
It's the Jabbering Coon Cat.
Jabbering.
I got to tell you, lately, I think the Grumpy Coon Cat would be much more appropriate. I might have to change that.
How about Reclusive Coon Cat?
Definitely.
The Elusive Coon Cat.
Definitely.
Anyway, just,
I don't know.
Yeah, you can't be the main coon cat because LePage kind of ruined that word for a lot of people.
Oh, he did. He just leaves a bad taste in your mouth, you know. I don't even want to say his name because then I'll have that horrible taste in my mouth. So yeah, in the last hour we were talking. We talked about all kinds of stuff. We talked about the horrible nationalistic racist comments that the so-called governor of Maine made. We talked about a tragic death in New Hampshire of John Connell, who was a liberty activist of sorts.
And we
talked about how sometimes it's not enough to illustrate the horrors that the state perpetrates, but it's necessary to offer people alternatives so that once they come to the conclusion that the state is horrible, they have something else to do and ways to work around that. And I think that's the most important thing that anyone who believes in furthering the Liberty Mission can do, is show that there are alternatives to living within the system. There are ways to sidestep it. You know, and a lot of them are gradual, and a lot of them, I think the big part of why people don't do that is because It's difficult. It's difficult to extricate yourself from the system. So
sure,
but it is possible, and nothing good comes easy. Just remember that.
And you can even do little things that actually aren't that hard. You know, just like even if it's just like a psychological thing in your mind. Like one of the easiest ways to disengage that I recommend as an option for people would be to just, you know what, stop voting. Stop worrying about, you know, their whole charade they put on, right? And it's not going to, people say, well, how is not voting going to change anything? No, not voting isn't going to change anything except your own self. For like the 15 minutes that you could have gone to vote, you could do something productive. Like,
oh, I can think of 100 things more productive.
Yeah, like eat a burrito or, you know, anything. Trim your toenails.
Oh, you could watch an episode of Robot Chicken. 11 minutes. There you go.
Perfect. So. And at the same time, it's kind of like, but it does free the mind, because it's sort of like saying, you know, some people say, well, you know, yeah, you know, we're not really sure, you know, how to treat cancer, so I'm going to just let the shaman do his work anyway, right? Or like, right. Well, you can't prove the shaman doesn't work. You know, I'm going to use the shaman to cure my cancer. You know, and or if somebody believes that the shaman is going to cure their cancer, they might not go to the oncologist, right? So voting is kind of like the shaman, the fake cure. And once you realize, like, hey, well, that's not going to fix the problem, your mind is free to start looking for alternatives, of which there are many. So it's just a little, that's an easy one.
Yep, it sure is. So I came across an article today on Upworthy.com, and it's a, a year after the Charlie Hebdo three things that people need to talk about. I don't know. And the article has a little bit of a progressive spin to it, but it does raise some good questions. I don't want to take the time to read the whole thing, but there are three questions or statements in this that I'd like to break down. The first is, you can hate terrorism without being Islamophobic. Definitely agree with that.
Sure.
Number two, which I think deserves the most discussion, is you can be pro-guns and pro-gun control. Oh, yes. We will hash that one out.
What the heck does that mean?
We will hash that one out. And number three is, you can support free speech and also find things offensive. Totally agree with that. So, number one, you can be against terrorism without being Islamophobic. Of course you can, because not everyone that practices Islam believes in terrorism. In fact, the vast majority, I think, don't. You know, there's a billion Muslims in the world.
Right.
If they were all, you know, in the stereotypical Fox News Donald Trump, you know, stereotype of supporting radical terrorism, then we'd be up a creek, right? And that's just not the case. In fact, I would argue that the biggest perpetrator of terrorism is the state, you know, state governments around the world, because they achieve political objectives through the use of violence and terror, which is the definition of terrorism.
Yeah, and it's by definition all they are. That's all they are people that go around the world threatening violence against people if they don't obey their will. Okay. I mean, yeah. That's terrorism. You know, it would be a lot easier, I think, to deal with some of these issues if, you know, first people could try to just, you know, like, seriously, reel in the collectivism. You know, this them, you know, I mean, like, my own father-in-law told me one time, like, this is even years ago. He's like, oh, every Muslim is my enemy, he told me. Like, oh, yeah. Oh, really? My father-in-law. I said, well, how many Muslims have you met? Well, none. I'm like,
just the ones I see on Fox News.
Yeah, might be a hole in your theory there. You know, like, you know, seriously, as soon as people start clumping people into collectives, the generalizations, the stereotypes come out. All of a sudden, you know, this muddy thinking can all that come out of it, right? Like, if you start thinking of, well, what should the United States do and what should Muslims do? Like, it's a path to, there's no answer when you start thinking like that. But if you clear your mind and say, well, we're all thinking, acting individuals, personally responsible for our actions. Right. These things, like, you know, we can just say, hey, maybe it's, you know, can we just, instead of saying, are you against terrorism or not, you say, you know what, I'm against, you know, blowing up innocent people like
like the United States government does with drones.
Whoever wants to do that. Right. Yeah. No, it's wrong. OK, like, yeah. Do we really need to even discuss that? That's wrong. But
well,
yet,
I think
maybe you do.
I think you're right on the you hit the hammer on the nail with the collectivism thing, because what you're seeing, and I'm exposed to this every day, good people, you know, good, kind people that, you know, I'll hear, well, I don't want them Muslims coming here anymore. And it's like, you are embracing this collectivist us versus them, you know, well, I wish they'd just stay where they are. Well, I can make the argument that the reason they're coming here is because the United States government is bombing their countries out of existence, but that's neither here nor there. What's wrong with them coming here? What's wrong with having these differences? As long as we don't force our individual differences and beliefs upon one another, there shouldn't be a problem. You know, I saw a great meme on Facebook once, and it showed a picture of white power guys, and then it showed a picture of black power guys. It says white power, black power. Then it showed a picture of a black guy holding a white guy's hand in, you know, in United, whatever. And it said, this is the only power they fear. And it's true, because
absolutely,
when people embrace collectivism and they embrace the differences between themselves, they're fighting each other, right? They're not fighting the system. They're not uniting with their common interests and common goals and values. Right.
They're asking to get played by politicians that are trained to manipulate that exact mentality.
That's all politics is yeah. Manipulating those differences.
They've trained for this, okay? It's their primary job responsibility is to take people's fears and hatreds and convert them into a way of transferring wealth to their friends.
Like, exactly.
They do it so well. You know, why hand them that? Why are Black Lives Matter people calling for the execution of the Occupy Oregon people? Like really, like, why is there, you know, why can't these groups, you know, meet on a, you know, on their common ground of fighting the people that call themselves the state? I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to execute anyone. I mean, personally, I think that those folks in Oregon made a big mistake. I think that they could have done much more effective ways of civil disobedience, protest, taking a stand, what have you.
We don't know. But
I don't want to go and execute them, you know? I don't
think especially if you consider, I mean, imagine the irony of, though, of people that are, like, considering themselves, you know, police violence activists. Like, you know, yeah. They're like, we're so concerned about, you know, overreaching police violence and violence against peaceful people in the state and blah, blah, blah. We're so oppressed and blah, blah, blah. And then to switch sides so quickly to call for state violence against some, you know, basically overzealous picnickers over there. I don't know.
It just blows my mind. And the thing that really blows my mind, I don't want to stay on this too long, but you know, Occupy so-and-so people coming against the people in Oregon and saying that they should be put out or they should be shot or whatever. That's ridiculous, because a few years ago, those Occupy people were in the same place. They were occupying government or public lands and spaces and demanding whatever.
With you know,
and they didn't want to
get
shot.
Very legitimate grievances.
Yeah.
Just like those ranchers have extremely legitimate grievances. You're not going to address the core grievance while calling for a government, you know, drone strike on your fellow human being. Like, I don't get it.
So instead of taking the time and effort to, I don't know, complain about that stuff, just unite. And unite while we head to the market.
Right on.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
From the magic box, off the wire, finding stuff. Oh yeah, we should definitely.
Fiend phone.
Uh-oh.
Speaking
we have a guest. Is this furries?
This is furries. The fiend phone, unnecessary random re-education interruption, exigency. Is it system or what have we decided? Service. I think it's service.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a service.
Service us, Michael. Service us.
Okay. I have a problem with this show, Metastases. This show you've never seen, the Colombian Breaking Bad. I'm almost done with it. And spoiler alert, this would be a spoiler alert too if you haven't seen the original Breaking Bad. But okay, you know in Breaking Bad where I'm going to try to be as halting as the guys were on halting and stilted as the guys were on Free Talk Live today until Ian showed up. It was like, I don't know how much weed there was in that studio today, but it was like Ian was caught in the snow, so it was like two other guys, and it was like, hey, Beavis, what's up? I don't know, Beavis, butthead. So I'm trying to imitate that. Yeah, bring back Cantwell. That's what I think.
Oh, hey, why not?
Yeah. So
the Trump effect.
It was that bad today. All right. So, so you know, in Breaking Bad, have you guys both seen it?
Of course, many times.
Okay. You know when Hank, the DEA agent, finally realizes that his brother-in-law is Heisenberg, and you know the guy who's been chasing his under his nose the whole time, and he like has the DEA bring all the files to his garage, and he turns his man cave into like, you know, the Bat Cave, and he starts reopening the case again, and he's looking through all the evidence, and it makes sense in new light. Okay, in Metastases, the Colombian version of it, he's laying out one of the things he's laying out is mugshots of like, you know, all the people from the Gus Fring cartel who were killed or who were killed in prison by Walt, basically, you know, and some are still out there or whatever. So he's laying out these mugshots, and one of them is a mugshot of Gus Fring. And it's like in both versions of this show, Gus Fring was never arrested. There's no mugshot of him with a number under him in front of a, you know, height meter on the wall. So I call, you guys didn't notice this, that I should have been hired to be the continuity expert on this show. So you're making a Colombian version of a show, man, fly me down, or just, you know, I'll just do it from here. I can't travel. I'm too sick. Right.
If they need somebody that can binge watch in like five seasons and in a weekend, you know, you're the man.
Oh, of the dailies, of the like, you know, rough cuts or even just like, no, they could just have like some PA girl walking around with, you know, with a cop body cam on. I would have noticed it. I would have seen it. I would have been like, man, that is not cool.
Well, maybe you should, you know, they're probably doing like a Swedish version next. So yeah, they might need some incontinuity.
Incontinence. I'll be, instead of the continuity director, I'll be the incontinence director.
Incontinuity.
Yeah, that's one medical problem I don't have yet, man. And, you know, I still don't need
get the hashtag ready just in case.
I'm 51 and I still don't need the little blue pills. The thing is, though, that, like, you know,
you two or three minutes. One? What?
Two or three. No, like the ones that, you know, that like politicians advertise on TV. But the thing is, like, 2 or 3 minutes of spirited. I can do that activity still, but it would just like it would wind me. I would just be like, ugh, you know, and, you know, it's kind of like if you're that age and you can do it, but your knees are going out. It's like, it's not as fun. So I got another correction in my ongoing series. I was wrong. I haven't done an I was wrong in a while. So last night I did the first full show I've done in a long time, and we still don't know where Dan is. Bring our boys home. We don't know what happened to Dan. I'm not joking. I'm seriously worried because I talked to Dan 6 hours before the show. He'd had computer problems and had to cancel the previous week. But last night, 6 hours before the show, I'm doing this thing now where I write you guys and say, check in, please. James is well aware of that, right?
Yeah, well, it helps just to know there could have been an EMP strike. You don't know, right?
There's because 6 hours ahead of a show, I can get someone to sub. But an hour, you know, if you don't just show up for the show, I can't get someone to sub. Fiends are busy people. So Dan said 6 hours for the show, he was ready to do the show, and then he never showed up, and then I emailed him, and he hasn't written me yet. So I am, this is no joke, I'm kind of worried about Dan. I think he's out there, I think he's dehydrated, and I think he needs snacks. So if anyone sees Dan...
I'm going to Scotland right now.
Cool, man.
On a rescue mission.
I'll do my I was wrong when we get back.
Worms.
Worms. I figured you guys were probably getting sleepy, so I woke up and drank coffee so I could bring some energy to the show.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
It's a wildebeest.
It's a wareham beast. Like a wildebeest being.
We now have a partial squirm of worms.
Yeah, we're going
to
call our
amp officially a squirm. But
James suggested calling our AMP program the Squirm Program. So if anybody can think of an acronym of what Squirm would stand for, I was thinking the ANT program, but amplify, notify, and terrorize. No, that's not what we were trying to do with money. Yeah.
But it's about joining the squirm of worms.
The squirm of worms, yeah.
Right. And as because we've previously identified a group of worms. I won't say a collective of worms.
It's a cartel. We decided last night the fiends aren't we're a cartel.
Okay, but if you were
a mean cartel,
this Imagine supporter program, we were starting to think of like fun things we could do, right? Like maybe you get like a worms fridge magnet or
That would be a lot of money because like it takes you 6 months to do one of those anyways. You handcraft them.
Yeah, so but that's certainly doable, and I was thinking like for $5 we'd you give us a name and we'll make fun of somebody, like for their birthday or whatever. Like
that's sort of like that is a service that is needed.
Yeah,
the fridge bags are it's child labor. You have your children carving them out of their tears, out of politicians' tears.
Well, it's children and robots that, make
it
those.
Literally is. I mean, a 3D printer is what is it but a robot, you know?
Yeah, right. So the children have been trained to operate
tween bots. They're robot. Tween bots. The combination of man and machine there is a tween bot. Hmm.
Right. Well, you can teach kids to operate the robot. I haven't yet been able to find a robot that could manage the kids.
You're running a sweatshop, aren't you? A fiend sweatshop.
Just a textile.
The kids
mill.
Like it. I mean, really, it's like most kids, you say, hey, do you want to go to public high school or do you want to sit here and run a textile mill? They'll go for the textile mill if the conditions are right. It's voluntary.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know you guys were in the middle of something, so we're going to do a concentric parenthetical here. I interrupted you. I got two more quick things.
Wait, you had an I was wrong.
As long as we come back to it. Well, before that, I have a happy hashtag MWD colon is I took my doctor's advice and increased my my O2 from 2 liters per minute to 4 liters per minute hooked up to my CPAP machine at night. I felt better and less choky when I woke up this morning than I have in many, many, many months. So that is a key to it. So what I need now, I'm trying to raise $100 to buy a recording pulse oximetry unit. It's not covered by my insurance. Now, the doctor will lend me his and let me take it home overnight and then bring it back and then charge me $90 for reading it to my insurance, which I have to pay because it's pre-deductible, but I can just buy one for $90 on Amazon. So I need to buy one of those to measure my oxygen while I sleep. And then you plug it into your computer and it tells you. It looks like an iWatch with a thing that goes on your finger, so like when you're in
the
hospital.
This is a hashtag, please donate MWD.
Medical equipment.
MWD colon.
Medical equipment. And not for kink, not for medical equipment kink play. Yeah. So right. somebody send me $100, please, and it'll keep me from drowning in my sleep of lack of oxygen.
I'm sure that the members of your community want you fully oxygenated, right?
Otherwise, I'm just stumbling around in the yard in the snow like lost. Like you have
and
to
you
call.
You get grumpy too.
I get so grumpy. Yeah. I haven't been grumpy with you in a while. Thanks to CPAP, man. It's helping.
Well, and the fans have been asking, like, you know, when are you guys going to go at it again? And I'm like,
I take it out on James, too, because he's like, you know, we're so close, you know. I don't take it out on strangers. I take it out on my friends.
And I can take it. I can take it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you know. I know. Chandler would just melt. No, I'm kidding.
I would.
He'd so punch me. He'd hit me over the head with his CPAP machine. You don't use yours all the time, do you?
Every night.
Oh, you do? Okay. Lou doesn't use it. There's three fiends on CPAP. I don't know if this is public information or not, but Lou also is on Twitter now. I'm so psyched about this, man, because Lou is built for Twitter. Lou speaks in bumper stickers in 120 characters, 64 characters. And
he's a meme master.
And he's like a text meme master, too. Like, he does visual memes, but a lot of his memes are text. And I've been trying, and he just got fed up with face beef and came on here. So here's the I was wrong, and then you guys can go back and have the rest of the show, and I'll shut up. So I was talking last night on the first show. I've been on the whole show for like 6 months last night because Dan has been abducted, and he's lying face down in the moors of Scotland, rubbing his nipples, thinking about naked Ron Paul and Bernie Sanders or something. That's what I'm going to assume until he contacts me. So, but we were talking about this show, Adam Ruins Everything, which is kind of like the new Penn and Teller BS. It's this new show where this guy, Adam Conway or Convoy or something, like, ruins things people hold sacred. And it's great. And Jim Jesus and I love this show.
He took apart the TSA in one of those or something,
yes,
didn't he?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Except, so, but he's not a libertarian. Like, he's not Penn and Teller, because he actually did an episode where he debunked the idea that summer vacation for public school is good, and he put forth the idea that kids would be smarter if they went to public school 12 months of the year.
Oh, please, and, somebody. Oh.
Yeah, and oh. And I was yelling at him for that, but I switched accidentally from yesterday.
This is
Adam Ruins Everything. This is Adam Ruins Everything.
Right, but Adam accidentally, Adam.
He did, but I accidentally, when I was talking about that part of it, I accidentally called him Adam versus the Man. I'm like, yeah, man, Adam versus the Man is kind of statist. He wants kids to go to public school 12 months of the year. Adam versus the Man is our friend Adam Kokesh, who is not statist. I mean, he is an anarchist who wants to run for president and then dismantle the government from inside, but that's just too much pot. That's not statist. That's just not really thinking it through. He's a good guy, and we like him. So
yeah,
it wasn't Adam versus the Man that wants public school to be 12 months a year.
This is Adam Merges with the Man.
This is Adam Merges with the Man, also known as Adam Ruins Everything most of the time. Yeah. All right, I'm done. Take it. I'm handing over the speaking stick to you.
Worms. Thanks, Michael. Worms. Mm-hmm. So, all right, we're talking about this article that you brought to my attention, Chandler, and it's basically like, what was the premise? They're saying that, like,
well,
you know, terrorism, gun violence, and the consequences of free speech aren't simple problems.
Right.
And it was trying to sort of address these possible inconsistencies.
It frames it in the light that politicians are so black and white when it comes to these problems. And in the real world, that's just not the case. And I do agree with that.
I don't agree with that.
Well, I think that if you take an approach for these problems that it's black and white, it's kind of a collectivist attitude, which fits in with why politicians love it so much.
Well, let me just interject for a second, though, because I think part of what this is like, for instance, when we read this number two, you can be pro guns and pro gun control. Meaning that this person who writes this, he says, chances are, if you're a gun owner, you already do support gun control. 85% of gun owners support universal background checks, okay? Which makes sense, because responsible gun owners, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay? So he's saying, see, you know, gun control is popular. Go with it, right? You know, he's trying to justify, first of all, pro-gun. Nobody's pro-gun. This is like saying, I'm pro-hammers. I'm pro, right? It's just a tool. What we really sort of need is to translate this.
We're pro-self-defense.
Yeah, pro-self-defense. Pro the freedom of self-defense, okay? And what he's saying is, you can be pro-freedom of self-defense and anti freedom of self-defense. And guys like this are just sort of like trying to justify their cognitive dissonance by saying like, yeah, I know, you can't just be the government deciding who can be have self-defense. That doesn't make sense, right? Because they know from history.
I'm in a quandary, though, with this. The pro-gun, anti-gun thing really has me struggling. Because you know me, I'm a
gun. And we're just going to use those as shorthand. We just clarified that nobody's really pro-gun, right?
It's right.
Pro-right of self-defense.
Right. And you know me. I really love my guns. In fact, I have two.
You actually are pro-gun.
Yeah, I am, actually. I love guns. I love everything about them. Yeah. I've got two sitting right here right now. But I got to thinking, right? Like, my initial reaction, the anarchist in me is like, yeah, everyone should be able to have guns. My kid, when she's walking, you know, 15 minutes to school, should be able to carry a gun on her for self-defense because my kid is trained. She knows how to use a gun. She understands gun safety and gun responsibility. But, you know, the law says she can't. So my initial gut thing is everyone should be able to have a gun. But then I got to thinking, right? You know, I work with individuals with developmental disabilities and mental illness. Now, one of the guys I work with is schizophrenic and has very, very poor impulse control. I'm not so sure that I want somebody like that being able to possess and or carry around a firearm.
No, I probably don't want him carrying around an axe either, or driving a car.
And
or maybe he's got
stuff.
A lot of things that he might want to do that I'd prefer he didn't do. Okay,
right.
But you know, it is kind of a can of worms. But you know, when they try to say like this isn't a black and white issue, you can sometimes there are black and white issues that are mixed into it, and if you can figure those out, like one question I ask people say. What would give one person the right to tell another person how they can defend themselves?
That is
true. What kind of relationship is that? That sounds a lot like a master-slave relationship, doesn't it?
Well, it does,
and that's
why I'm
so conflicted.
Tells
a whole other class of people how they can defend themselves? Like, that's not equality. That is subject and master. That is you can't get on board with that, right? And once you accept that, some of these other vague issues become a lot more clear.
Well, and that's where I'm struggling, right? Because I really don't want to see this individual possessing or carrying a firearm. But if I could even assume to take the responsibility to tell this person they can't, I should at least offer an alternative. And you know, the government, well, they'll say, yeah, we do offer an alternative, call a cop. And we've seen how that ends, and not well.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe the answer is, you know, private security firms and, you know, discount rate for people that are ill and low income. I don't know what the answer is, you know.
And we don't have to have the answer to all of these problems, because certainly the alternative theory of statism doesn't have all the answers. So it's not like we can say, well, and this is what you're going to do to make sure that no crazy person ever does anything bad, right?
Right.
No.
Well, that's just not going to happen, because crazy people run the world and they do bad things all the time.
It's not going to happen, you know, with anarchy. It's not going to happen under statism. So let's take that off the equation.
Yeah. We'll go look at the market for some answers. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is some Squiscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the road to freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch. Now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons. What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
There's a new Trigger bot, Twitter bot. Jim made a new one. It's Keen, K-E-E-N-E underscore ebooks. And I'm the only follower right now. I was the first follower on this and on Lou. First, man, right there. Boom. I'll put it in the show notes.
Wow.
What's a
trendsetter. That's what that is.
No, it's called having a lot of free time and not leaving your house and being on the computer a lot. Because you're sick. I was sick.
Michael, I just saw a new Facebook profile picture for you where you were outdoors.
It's old. Everyone's like, hey, I'm glad you're feeling better. I'm like, dude, that was 3 years ago.
That's what I was afraid of. Like that's not, you know, like if it was now, he would have like spontaneously like burst into flames from sunburn.
From oxygen combined with sparks from twigs rubbing together. Yeah. No, that's my wife went to a legal seminar that her boss sent her to in Jackson or Cody. That scene is on the way to both of them. That's in Teton. That's the Grand Tetons, which is French for the boobies. Those are those mountains.
For big boobies.
Big boobies?
Well, Grand. Yeah. It's the Grand Tetons.
Yeah, it's in Teton County. I didn't know. I couldn't remember where it was. Somebody from New Hampshire told me on Facebook where it was and then sent me a picture of him tripping on mushrooms there. But yeah, we call them the Teets. That's the local nickname for it, the Teets.
Sure.
That's not really true. That's what I call them, but I want to spread that. So
yeah, why not?
Yeah, man.
That's what I call them.
Yeah. All right, so David Bowie, we're bummed. He's dead. I said it. I'll say it again. You know you're getting old when your childhood rock and roll heroes start dying from cancer instead of car crashes and drug overdoses. Like this week, Bowie and Lemmy died of cancer.
Yeah, and how is it that Keith Richards is still alive, but Lemmy isn't? I just don't
get it. He's filled with dust.
Yeah.
You know, while most rock stars just sleep with young women, my guess is that Keith Richards has them drained and takes their blood.
And yeah,
he's got some Swedish doctor who's like a vampire with tweens.
Like, he makes like jerky out of their bone marrow and chews.
Yeah, and chews on it. Yeah. Like he's not really smoking a cigarette. It's the bone marrow of
right. When they say like, "Hey, you want to let's go backstage and smoke a bone," what they're really saying is
literally
drain the bone marrow from another hapless groupie.
Groupie stem cells.
Speaking of hapless groupies, boy, Bowie sure is. Like, there was things about Bowie I never knew, like somewhat unsavory, perhaps. Who knows what actually happened? I guess, you know, none of my business.
Are you
talking
about his sex life?
Yeah, with maybe
there's
a questionable
stuff than that.
Questionable choice of partners.
Who?
Allegedly, someone who was 13.
Who?
Jimmy Page's girlfriend.
Jimmy Page, you know, people never give Jimmy. That was the style of the day. That's like blaming slavery back when it was legal. No, I'm kidding. It's still reprehensible.
Well, who knows what is, I don't know. Some story said she was 15. Other story said she was 13. None of my business. I wasn't there. I don't, you know, whatever. Yeah.
And I'll say I choose to remember. I only got to see Bowie once, but it was one of the most amazing experiences of my, life, not just teenage years. I went to see the Outside Tour in 95, and it was Nine Inch Nails and David Bowie.
Did you go backstage, and did he try to drain your blood?
Thankfully, no.
No, and he's not
rejuvenated.
He's not that kind of a rock star, and now he's dead.
I was rejuvenated after that show. But I'll tell you the highlight, they did, they changed the stage setup as the songs and the sets progressed. Like the last four songs, they did two Bowie songs and two Nine Inch Nails songs all together with them all singing. Cool. And slowly they worked Nine Inch Nails band and equipment off the stage and worked Bowie's band and equipment on the stage. And it was a finale with Trent Reznor and David Bowie singing Hurt. It just
sweet.
It blew my mind. Granted, I had consumed a whole bottle of mezcal for that show, and I was,
but that
was in rough shape. But I'll tell you, it was an amazing experience.
I'm glad you didn't end up backstage with the groupies. That could have been interesting. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, there's rumors about him and his sex life, but that was the way. That was rock and rollers in the 70s. So there is something that's fact that's not well known about David Bowie. Is that he went through a brief period in the 70s of praising Hitler and saying that the UK needed a fascist leader to get things turned around. And I just sent you guys this picture of David Bowie doing a Nazi salute from the back of a Mercedes-Benz. And he was serious about this, and he later blamed it on drugs. But wow. That and Eric Clapton's anti-Jewish comments around the same time is what created the group Rock Against Racism.
Wow.
Hey, I got a little bit of good news for our final segment. It's not all bad news. A new world record was set by a Filipino man. He sets the world record for most candles lit extinguished by farting, and the record is now five candles.
I can do better than that.